jerks.
These children are going to the most glamorous of all summer camps, Camp Mohawk. There's a 2-year waiting list, and every child has to be voted in. On top of all that, it costs $1,000 a week to go to Camp Mohawk. The question is it worth $1,000 a week?
It sure is. It's the best darn camp there is.
Well, are you connected with Camp Mohawk?
Well, I think so. I'm the program director, Jerry Aldini.
Well, how do you justify $1,000 a week?
Well, we have some special programs. We're doing Shakespeare in the Round again this year, of course. Our political roundtable, Henry Kissinger, will appear. Yasser Arafat is going to come out, spend a weekend with the kids, just rap with them.
That's amazing.
And the kids wanted animals, so this year each camper will stalk and kill his own bear in our private wildlife preserve.
Are you sure the children can hack that?
We'll see. But the real excitement, of course, is going to come at the end of the summer, during Sexual Awareness Week. We import 200 hookers from around the world, and each camper, armed with only a thermos of coffee and $2,000 cash, tries to visit as many countries as he can. And the winner, of course, is named King of Sexual Awareness Week and is allowed to rape and pillage the neighboring towns until camp ends.
That's incredible.
What do you expect for $1,000 a week? Hey, you have a good summer too, huh?
I don't know if you're going to get that for $1,000 a week. At least this week at summer camp on DS106 Radio. This is Jim Groom, and I welcome all you campers to day two of DS106 Radio summer camp. Day one did not disappoint. If you all were listening in yesterday, Marin got us started with some music. And then we had a bunch of different sessions in the afternoon after some summer tunes we had, and let me see, Leading Change. That was a session by M. Palencia talking about her academic year and the approaches she took and the work that worked and didn't work. Now, if you want to listen to that or any other session, you can go to a URL I'm going to share in the chat right now. Basically, it is listen.reclaimed.tech /summer-camp. And for those listening out there, you can hear all the sessions that I'll be describing that happened yesterday by just clicking on the session. It's amazing that Marin and Taylor will be able to put together such a slick setup. Which brings us back to conferences like OER by Domains 21 and all that fun stuff. So the kids have still got it at this summer camp. That's for sure. Now, after Leading Change by M, there was a little kind of throwback to some old gold DS106 Radio and DS106 The Course. Alan Levine, Todd Conaway, and Mark Wilson lined up some Western 106 Roundup. Now, I think this plays off of the fact that Alan Levine had wanted for years to do a Western 106 DS106 class and tried, or there was one that started, but for some reason it wasn't finished. I have some blog posts, actually, I looked at recently that dealt with that. And it was actually a fun beginning to that class. But as we all know, DS106 is a commitment. And so I like the fact that this is just a week long, because could we really do this for several weeks on end? I don't know. I don't know if we have it in us. So check out Western 106 Roundup with the great Mark Wilson, Todd Conaway, Alan Levine. And then there was a much talked about session by the great Terry Green. And this happened yesterday, which would be, if I do my conversion right, if it's 10 o'clock in Italy, it was 4 o'clock on the East Coast. And this was called Online Learning Could Never Hip Hop Like This with Terry Green. So yet another session people have been raving about. So check that out. And then we had a couple of kind of a daily camp roundup where people talked about all the things that happened, whether in Discord or in some other venue, which is great. And then we had guest DJ Lauren Haywood. I mean, that's a full day. And today is even gonna be fuller, campers. I mean, this is, day one has happened. Day two is coming. And so in order to get you ready for that, though, I think we need to kind of stop here and do a little musical break. Something I learned this year, and I'll maybe talk about over the course of this opening morning week, because I'll be your morning DJ through Friday, so lock it in. But, you know, we also have to enjoy the music, don't we? So something I learned this year is sometimes a pony gets depressed.
Where does an animal sleep when the ground is wet? Cows in the ballroom, chickens in the farmer's Corvette. Sometimes a pony, sometimes a pony, sometimes a pony gets depressed. How does an animal sleep once the sun is set? In the capital, limited civilian unrest. Sometimes a pony, sometimes a pony, sometimes a pony gets depressed.
Could. DS106 Radio, DS106 Summer Camp. That was the Silver Jews. Sometimes a pony gets depressed. And it's important to remember that because we're right now in the height of summer. It is beautiful outside, maybe a little hot where you are. I know it was hot where I was last week. But at the same time, the sun is out, the activities are calling, you know, go out, do that swim. Lay on that beach, swim in that lake, kayak to your heart's content. Do it. Do it now. Because winter is coming. We all know that. And even a pony can get depressed. Anyway, I hope everybody's doing good. As Eric has reminded me, I will be your drive to work host all week long. And I hope to impress. Now, you're hearing through my... Hold on, let me do this. You're hearing that beep. That's my Mastodon social media beep. So, you know, you got to be careful. Sometimes that gets in the way. So, where was I? How was I? Last 2 weeks, I was traveling in the United States of America. And I'll be happy to report that it's not as bad there as it's reported on television here in Europe. It's still pretty bad, don't get me wrong, but it's not as bad as it looks from afar. You know, we just got to make it through the next several months in some sort of sanity, and we'll see how that happens. But anyway, report, man in the street, it's not as bad as it looks. It could be a lot better. but it's not as bad. I spent some time in Washington, D.C., Georgetown, and that was probably a good 95 to 105 degrees every day of the 3 days I was there. Brutal, humid city heat. It was just miserable. Then I went down to Fredericksburg to meet up with some of the reclaimers like Meredith and Justin and old reclaimer Tim Owens. And that was a lot of fun. Got to spend some time in the arcade. And Fredericksburg was equally as brutal with 95 plus degree weather. Returned. So I was in Georgetown for WordPress campus. Returned to Ballston, Virginia, which is right outside of D.C., for DH, or Digital Humanities 2024. And just about every day of that conference was 95 plus. I mean, Meredith and I walking to get lunch was like in the Sahara, although a very swampy Sahara. Anyway, the weather was miserable. And DH 2024 is like an international conference. It's not just like, you know, the DHs in the U.S. It's like, this is held in major cities around the world. Next year, it will be in Portugal, Lisbon, just so you know, which could be a good reason to go. But I felt bad for these people coming from abroad, being in Northern Virginia, which is not the most beautiful place in America, in the worst time of year to be there, which is like 105 degree weather, brutally humid. And it's a city that, you know, you can go in and you can see the mall and there's a lot going on in D.C. But still, with that weather and, you know, I have to say, and this is editorial, so forgive me, but Northern Virginia, since it got, you know, Amazon, basically Amazon was bidding to stay in various different states and states were offering, you know, benefits for them to come. Virginia, Northern Virginia won out. New York decided against it or whatever happened there. And so that area has a huge influx of money because Amazon has made it its headquarters. And it kind of has that soulless feel of Amazon too. Me and my friend from New York, Matt Gold, were commenting. We're both New Yorkers though, so, you know, we're kind of a pain in the ass in and of ourselves. So that's where I was. And finally, I took the last few days to go up to Long Island, where I'm from, born and raised, and see a lot of folks from my family and friends. Point being there, it's on the beach. It's an island. Beautiful weather. 82 degrees, sunny. We just had the kind of tropical storm, which brought amazing waves to the Atlantic coast. And I was on a Saturday last week. I was wallowing in the waves, hanging out with family. It was just wonderful. So my summer camp did get off to a kind of bit of a work trip and then ended in a very kind of way I remember my summers in Long Island, spending them in the Atlantic Ocean. On Long Beach, on Long Island, enjoying the, you know, New Yorker weather. It's a different kind of people. It's a different kind of life up there. But at the same, all the same, and all the more beautiful. Now, I heard there were some good songs yesterday, but I want to play this one for my time in. For my time in D.C., summer in the city, hot summer in the city, boom, boom. Is that the Joe Cocker one that I want? Is it the Quincy Jones one that I want? Some people would have done the work. I'm gonna test this out and see if Joe Cocker is right. So here we go. Joe Cocker, Summer in the City. If it's not right, I'll interrupt it. Thank you.
but at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on, and dance all night. Despite the heat, it will be alright. And baby, don't you know it's a pity? The days can be like the night. In the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. Cool town, evening in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Chill out, wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop. But at night, it's a different world.
Because we're losing doesn't mean it's all over.
Cut the crap, Morty. I mean, the Mohawks have beaten us the last 12 years. They're going to beat us again.
That's just the attitude we don't need, Phil.
Sure, Mohawk has beaten us 12 years in a row. Sure, they're terrific athletes. They've got the best equipment that money can buy. Hell, every team they're sending over here has their own personal masseuse. Not masseur, masseuse. But it doesn't matter. Do you know that every Mohawk competitor has an electrocardiogram, blood and urine tests every 48 hours to see if there's any change in his physical condition? Do you know that they use the most sophisticated training methods from the Soviet Union, East and West Germany, and the newest Olympic power, Trinidad Tobago? But it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I tell you, it just doesn't matter. 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 Even if we win, if we win, ha! Even if we win, even if we play so far over our heads that our noses bleed for a week to 10 days, even if God in heaven above comes down and points his hand at our side of the field, even if every man, woman, and child held hands together and prayed for us to win, it just wouldn't matter, because all the really good-looking girls would still go out with a guy from Mohawk because they got all the money. It just doesn't matter if we win or we lose. It just doesn't matter.
I think it matters. I think it all matters. Everything counts in large amounts. So that was Bill Murray in Meatballs, 1979. Little information. And actually, I started off this set with another quote from Meatballs. It was a scene where Bill Murray is being interviewed by the newsman as they're getting ready to bus. And he talks about all the various events that are going to be happening at Camp North Star, many of which didn't really happen, but were funny. But in this one, it just doesn't matter. It's a pretty great skit. And one of the things I was reading about Meatballs, it's obviously, well, not obviously, it's Bill Murray's first major role. He just was a kind of, he's only been on Saturday Night Live for a year at this point. He's had no major film breakthroughs. And so this is his first one. The person who created Meatballs also had created Animal House. But Animal House didn't come out yet while he was making Meatballs, which was all made in Canada. And so he had no real kind of, once Animal House comes out and gets huge success, he has some clout in Hollywood. But right now he made, you know, Meatballs with little to no clout or money. And he did it outside a studio. And Meatballs became the blueprint for all summer camp movies that would follow. And Bill Murray in the scenes essentially ripped up the script and would improvise these scenes. So that's Bill Murray in front of a group of people who are really laughing. If you look at the movie, they're all like, what is this guy doing? What is he up to? Because it was all improvised. He was just going nuts, took a piece of log from the fire and started slamming it on the wall, was grabbing kids out of the audience. It's hysterical. To think that he also did this all impromptu is pretty amazing. So big shout out for Bill Murray, for Meatballs, and for summer camps, and basically the movie that started all summer camp movies that were to follow. If you're a fan of that genre, go back, see Meatballs. I don't know how well it aged, because from both of my clips, you can see some of the, yeah, it's definitely an 80s movie, late 70s movie, and it wears that. But, you know, what are you going to do? You got to go. You got to go back to the source, and then you be the judge. So talking about the source, let's talk a little bit about the summer camp that's happening today. We have some people listening, and I want to say hi to them. I want to say hi to folks like Tom Woodward, Eric, E-Learning Techie, Paul Bond, Meredith. Welcome, everybody. It's good to have you here this morning. And if you need anything from me, you just let me know on that little Discord chat, and I'll be sure to ignore you. So what's going on today? What's going on today is you're going to hear me, which you are hearing me. So that means 9 o'clock Eastern is me. We're 24 minutes into this already. Can you believe how fast that went? Believe how good I am? I haven't been on the radio forever. It feels good to be back. How are my levels? And so after that, coming up is what you're all really here for, is there'll be a session with Brian Mathers. Myself and Brian Mathers will be talking about visual thinkery storytelling. So we'll be looking at that together. And that's a pre-recorded session because Brian is on vacation holiday. So he made a point of doing it well before. But it is a good discussion. We're both part of that together. So definitely tune in. That's coming up at the top of the hour. So 10 o'clock Eastern. And then do the math. After that, we have a really cool session with Daniel Linz and Tim Clark. And Tim Clark will have two today. But at 11 a.m. Eastern, so that would be 5 o'clock Italian time, p.m., there's a session called Diversify Your Playlist / Syllabus. And Tim and Daniel will be kind of using a playlist to talk about different views and arrangements of not only tropes for bands, but maybe for thinking of ways to do your class. And I like the analogy between the music and the class, so I definitely want to hear how they do that. So good stuff. Then there's a really cool session as well with eLearning Techie, who's on right now. Hey, eLearning. And they will be on the radio later with Dom Pates. And they will be talking about the old EdTech mansion. And I love this conceit because essentially they'll be walking you through a EdTech mansion into the different rooms and what's on our shelves in the library, what color are the towels in our bathroom, which is a good one. So anyway, that should be a fun, and it's a great kind of narrative conceit for taking you on a tour via radio. So that's great. That will be up at 2 p.m. Eastern, which will be 8 o'clock Italian time. And so it's probably 7 o'clock British time. And then do the math, right? You know, do the math. After that, we have another one with Tim Clark. Okay, today is stock full of great sessions. And this is a 9 o'clock session for me, so it's a 3 p.m. session on the East Coast. And this is called Austerity Blues Redux. And so this is where Tim, I think, uses a genre of music, if you will, the blues, to talk about a genre of higher ed, you know, administration called austerity, and mixing those two together to talk about the larger austerity impacts on New York, California state colleges, and what 25 years of disinvestment in higher education has meant in the U.S. A very upbeat topic. But Tim is a great DJ, and he knows what he's doing on the radio, and I have no doubt that this will be a blast of a session. So if you're around, check that out. Now, the hits just keep on coming, people. This is just part of what's going on today. I mean, this is one day. You can cats in New York paying top dollar for this kind of professional development, and we give it to you for free. DS106 Radio, Summer Camp for Life. Okay. This session, 4 o'clock Eastern, with none other than Dave Cormier, right? Celebrated author Dave Cormier. We'll be doing a session where he talks about a year of uncertainty, fighting the fight against the RAND Corporation. Listen to this. This is freaking Aaron Brockovich over here, doing the Aaron Brockovich of EdTech right here, Dave Cormier on DS106 Radio. The description, and I don't think he's literally fighting the RAND Corporation, but that's what I see when I read the title. But it seems to be like fighting some of the ideological baggage that some RAND Corporation-sponsored research brought to us in this field of tech and ed tech. But I'll let Dave sort the details out, because he is certainly not short of words and ideas and will entertain on the radio, I am sure. Now, you think we're done, right? Whew, shoo. That was a long day. I'm exhausted sitting here by the beach, by the pool, sipping my drink, listening to Dave fight the RAND Corporation. Like, you're done at that point, right? You're finished. But no. At 11 p.m. Italian, which is 5 p.m. Eastern. Is that annoying you yet that I'm doing that conversion in my head? There's the Daily Camp Roundup. And this is where there's conversations in Discord, people sitting around a campfire, talking about what they heard that day, sharing, caring, all of that. That will happen at 5. And then at 6 o'clock Eastern, we will be joined on the airwaves by Anne-Marie Scott doing a show, Nice People with Nice Manners. And this is a DJ show. So it's music, talking, a little Anne-Marie Scott magic, another longtime DJ on DS106 Radio. And after that, so that's from Scotland. After that, so this is 7 p.m. Eastern time, which is now 1 o'clock my time, and I'm going to try and stay up for this, is we got Rowan Peter from Melbourne, Australia, coming on the airwaves to do yet another DJ set. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 9 more sessions today that you have the privilege and the honor and the ability to tune into at any point over the next 9+ hours. Hear music, hear compelling stories, hear great conceits on the radio, all of this. So actually the radio from here on out can only get better. That's basically what I've set up for you today. It can only get better from here, right? And that reminds me of a little thing that I wanted to play today. Now I'm playing all different genres, right? So part of that is because, you know, I don't know how to spell how do you spell carpenter? How do you spell the carpenters, right? All right, the carpenters, not the carpenter, the carpenters, right? Because I wanted to do this for you. Dude, child, things are gonna get easier. Come on, where is it? Well, wait, hold on 1 second. Something's going on here. You like this? Like I said, it can only get better from here. Ooh, yeah. Let's see what the name of this song is. I thought it was going to be Things Are Going to Get Easier. No. It's called Carpenter's Child. Things are going to get easier. The Carpenters have any kids? Are gonna. Okay, what's the name of this freaking song? This is where those lyrics things help you, right? It's called Oh Oh Child, and it was done by a. And did the Carpenters redo it? You know what song I'm talking about, right? Anyone have it in chat? Anyone have it? Okay, let's go. I'm going to look at the chat now. Because now I'm dying. The Carpenters. Smooth jazz. Don't you mess with me. Listen, this is radio. This is not playing around. Things are going to get easier. Maybe it's not the Carpenters. No, it's the Five Fair Steps. I was totally wrong. Okay. So there we go. I was wrong. I basically whitewashed the stair steps, and that's not nice. And I am going to say sorry. But for that, I'm also going to give you some damn good music on DS106 Radio, which, as they say, is for life. Right? Is that what they're saying? Is that what they're saying? Ooh, baby? No, come on. What the hell? Ooh, child. Things. There it is. Okay. Play this freaking song.
Child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday, when you hit it much lighter.
Ooh,
things are gonna be easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter.
Right hand used to be. That was enough for the guy. He slammed the car into gear, floored it, bounced off a tree, didn't stop till they got to the girl's house. Got out of his side, walked around to hers, there, hanging in the door, covered with blood, was a stainless steel hook.
Oh.
The strangest part is that after all these years, after the biggest manhunt in Two Pines history, they never found the killer. Some people say he's still up here in the woods, waiting for the chance to kill again. And I say they're right. Hey, my dinner.
Oh, wow. Meatballs continues to deliver. So that was The First Family of Soul, The Five Fair Steps, Ooh Child, which I had mistakenly thought was The Carpenters. And then after that, this was the campfire story in the 1979 camp classic Meatballs. That's Bill Murray yet again improvising, telling a story about the hook. And it's interesting because that's a horror story about a mad killer coming to the camp. Never pans out in Meatballs, but the same year, what was being created? Friday the 13th. Your first kind of, I mean, to be clear, Mario Bava makes the first kind of camp killing movie, which is called Itch of the Death Nerve, and that came out in Italy in 1971. So 8 years later, it took the Americans to catch up and kind of pull from Mario Bava's Twitch of the Death Nerve, and it has different names. It's like Bay of Blood, Twitch of the Death Nerve. There's another Italian name that's a little bit different. Carnage is another name. But anyway, that would be the another kind of blueprint for a different kind of movie, the slasher. And you know, you could argue that Halloween took the slasher and really started it in the U.S., and that's true. But the camp slasher, which Halloween made possible, would be Friday the 13th, right? And that's Jason. So, you know, all these different kind of tertiary, you know, relationships between summer camps always lead back to storytelling. And usually some scary stories. So I don't know if we have any scary campfire stories set up, maybe like scary ed tech moments, scary moments in teaching. But that might be a good thing to share during the storytelling campfire time as we get underway today. So we have Reclaim on the radio from now on. Yeah, I'm glad that we can do that. So I'm listening and both DJing and keeping an eye on the chat. And as usual, the people there are taking some, being very kind, but also taking their shots, which I love. And Emma seems to be a huge fan of DS106 Radio. And I have to give a big shout out to Marin, who saw this through from inception to production. So Marin Deepwell, thank you very much for all you've done here. This is amazing. I am just having fun following your script and doing the work that you basically set up for us. And also Taylor worked very closely with Marin to get this all together. So there are many others. I don't want to limit it to those two, but those two definitely deserve a shout out on the second day of camp. Now, I went through the schedule, and it is a full schedule. I don't know if I'm going to go through it again, but what I am going to do for anyone out there who's interested is I'm going to drop the link in the chat again just so you can see all the things on tap today. And that link, for those of you who are listening and have no access to the chat, is listen.reclaimed, so reclaimed, if you will, .tech/summer-camp. And that's where you'd find it. Not the shortest link in the world, I'm sorry, but anyway, you'll find it. And if not, just listen to the radio and you'll see what's coming up. That's for sure. Now, I have about another 17 minutes late left. We've been playing a lot with some meatballs and some music, but I did want to get you ready for what's coming next. So up at the top of the hour, you'll be hearing from the great, great Brian Mathers. Brian will be talking with me in dialogue about his form of storytelling, his visual storytelling technique. And he'll talk a little bit, and we both talk a bit, I think, about a kind of unanswerable question, but an answer, but a question I'm pretty interested in because I pretend in my I pretend at times to be an artist. And part of that question is, you know, what makes an artist? Like, what do you think constitutes art? And, you know, I always was interested in, you know, part of why so much of the online learning we did and so much of the work that happened, you know, the more routinized, the more kind of corporate approach, was robbed of any of its kind of identity and any interesting kind of, if you will, metaphors, right? Which I think has come up in ed tech, or in a certain flavor of ed tech, is using metaphors, which so many people on this in this summer camp will be doing, which I find very interesting, whether it's an old mansion, whether it's austerity blues, right? Whether it's a DIY, your syllabus/playlist, like all of these are playing with these fun kind of comparisons, right? These analogies. And I always thought the best kind of ed tech played with that and took advantage of the cultural kind of milieu in which a university sits, and used that as kind of part of the interesting space. So the ed tech was as engaged in those cultural questions as the class and as the content. Like, the wrapper in which that course was delivered should be as interesting as anything in it. And I think once the kind of MOOC, the drive towards MOOCs and the drive towards kind of, you know, scale and then videos, and we saw that in different ways over the last 10 or 15 years, you know, some of the soul gets sucked out of what it is we do. And I think for me, Brian Mathers, and the way in which he tells stories, and the way in which he listens, and the way in which he narrates, was a really great example of bringing art back in to that discussion. And for me, reinvigorating it. And there are many people who I've worked with like that. Martha Burtis is a great example. Michael Branson Smith is another amazing example. I mean, those people, and Tom Woodward, for example, always playing with the idea of a simile, in fact, or a metaphor. I think him and Martin Weller crossed streams on metaphors with Sasquatch, which is an interesting one for both of them to both be honing in on at the same time. I saw them like, hey, sorry, I stole your Sasquatch metaphor. What other group do you have that problem? It's beautiful. And anyway, that's all from the blogs. And I don't know, are you still blogging? Do you have a blog? Any way I can subscribe to your blog? Is it a newsletter now? Do you want me to like and subscribe for more? Because I will. I have been known to like and to subscribe for more. In fact, it won't be the first time that I've done that. Anyway, I've had some fun over the last week looking at some Olympics. I don't know how many of you watched it, but I caught it as I could, right? I wasn't a huge, I wasn't able to spend too much time, but the stuff that I saw, like I watched skateboarding, because that's interesting to me that that's an Olympic sport. Breakdancing, how cool that that's an Olympic sport. I couldn't escape the basketball, which was pretty interesting, but I loved how prominent Snoop Dogg was at the Olympics. Like, he was everywhere. And then when they had the handoff, because the 2028 Olympics is going to be in Los Angeles, which is awesome. I want to go there for it. You know, Snoop Doggy Dogg was, him and Dr. Dre got on stage, and Snoop was so smooth. So anyway, I figured I would give a little shout out to Los Angeles on having 2028 Summer Olympics. I love you, Los Angeles. That has perfect weather, not like the south of the United States of America. This is Gin and Juice by Snoop Doggy Dogg, who's basically like Los Angeles. He's basically like the ambassador to the city. I think that's great. Like, oh, I love it. Anyway, Gin and Juice. Sipping on.
I'm seriously, what do y'all think about this, man? Hey, baby, get some bubblegum in this motherfucker, something. All right, baby, get some bubblegum. Study long, study wrong.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kinda hard being Snoop D-O-double-G, but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass shit like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few ends as I breeze through. 2 in the morning and the party still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got bitches in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you wanna do? Shit, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. So turn off the lights and close the doors. But
what? We don't love them hoes.
Yeah. So we gon' smoke an ounce to this. G's up, hoes down, while you motherfuckers bounce to this.
Rolling down the street, smoking in love, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street, smoking in love, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
I got me some Seagram's gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. Now this type of shit happens all the time. You gotta get yours, but fool, I gotta get mine. Everything is fine when you're listening to the D.O.G. I got the cultivating music that be captivating he who listens to the words that I speak as I take me a drink to the middle of the street and get to mackin' to this bitch named Shady. She used to be the homeboy's lady.
Oh, that bitch.
Degrees when I tell that bitch, please raise up off these NUTs, cause you gets none of these at ease. As I mob with the dog pound, feel the breeze, be I chump just
rolling down the street, smoking in love, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back
with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street, smoking in love,
laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Later on that day, my homie Dr. Dre came through with a gang to Tango Ray. And a fat ass Jake of some bubonic chronic that made me choke. Shit, this ain't no joke. I had to back up off of it and sit my cup down. Tango Ray and chronic, yeah, I'm fucked up now. But it ain't no stopping, I'm still popping. Dre got some bitches from the city of Compton to serve me. Not with a cherry on top, cause when I bust my nut, I'm raising the bottle to cock. Don't get upset, girl, that's just how it goes. I don't love you hoes, I'm out the dough. And I'll be
rolling down the street, smoking in now, sipping on.
Laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking in now, sipping on gin and gills.
Laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking in now, sipping on gin and gills.
Biatch.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Rolling down the street, smoking in now, sipping on. With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
So, can I just say this? That's Snoop Doggy Dogg, Gin and Juice. He is now the representative of Los Angeles on the biggest sports kind of, you know, junket in the world. The Olympics. And he is the face of it. I love it. Who says America's not the land of opportunity? Who says it? Oh, I love it. He's from Long Beach City. So he's from Long Beach is considered part of Los Angeles, but it's almost its own city altogether. And he talks about the LBC, which is the Long Beach City. When I first went to California in 1990, and I stayed there for like 7 or 8 years, I went to Long Beach. And that was kind of even before I think they started to emerge the kind of West Coast sound with Dr. Dre, Snoop Doggy Dogg, Eazy-E. It's just around that time, I guess they were breaking, right? I think NWA was already happening. And that's fascinating to me to see him, you know, essentially 40 years later, 30 years later, become like essentially a ambassador for the city. I love it. Who knows? But that was a good time. I liked being in LA during the 90s. In fact, I really enjoyed LA. A lot of people like, how could you stand it? But I thought it was great in terms of, I liked a lot of post-punk, listened to a lot of post-punk coming out of Los Angeles at the time. A lot of good bands would come through there, like my favorite, Unwound. There was bands like Slug, Stanford Prison Experiment, Rage Against the Machine would be there, although their music was kind of appropriated. But anyway, I have a soft spot in my heart for Los Angeles, so to see them being kind of set up for the next Olympics and to who represents that city, I found it super fascinating. So anyway, looks like Paul Bond in the chat has found a great radio spot for the movie I was talking about by Mario Bava, which is called Twitch of the Death Nerve. And the radio spot comes out in 72. So let's see if I can play this. Thank you, Paul. You're gonna actually, yes.
Twitch of the Death Nerve. The first motion picture to require face-to-face warning. Every ticket holder must pass through the theater's final warning station. We must warn you face to face.
Warning.
Are you aware that twitch of the death nerve contains scenes which may be the stimulus that initiates psychological shock?
Warning.
During scenes of intense shock, do not attempt to leave your seat. If necessary, close your eyes, but remain seated until you have regained your composure.
Warning.
There are 13 periods of intense shock. Do not subject yourself to more than one strong reaction.
Warning.
Diabolical, fiendish, savage. You may not walk away from this one.
That was awesome, Paul Bond. And I'll tell you, one of the things that they let on there is not only like this idea that they would, what a great gimmick. Like you walk in the theater and you have to have a face-to-face, like, are you ready for what you're about to see? But they talk about there's 13 intense moments of shock and horror. Well, the fact is, it's a body count film. So there are 13 times in which basically there is murders, you know. And I don't know, my kids watch on YouTube. There's basically film YouTubers who do body counts. Like they put together all the killings in a various slasher film and they talk about them and which ones are the most creative. And my son knew about Twitch of the Death Nerve, not because he'd ever seen it or me, but because he saw someone do a video on the different killings, which are super creative if you're into that kind of stuff. But that's interesting. And it's actually interesting because Twitch of the Death Nerve puts us back, for those of you who want a little story of DS-106 lore and DS-106 radio lore, back in the summer of 2011, there was a little class known as Summer of Oblivion. And this was the class where for 5 weeks, essentially, we taught an online class where Dr. Oblivion, who you might hear from at some point this week, was teaching the class as an adjunct, but then when missing, his TA, Jim Groom, me, took over. And then there were some problems in the class. And the class basically revolted. And they were brought to a summer camp, much in the same vein of Twitch of the Death Nerve, and were all killed by Martha Burtis. That's the Summer of Oblivion. That's what we talk about when we talk about inspired creative ed tech. All the students were systematically killed in the summer camp. But that was, luckily, Alan Levine and Martha Burtis kind of saved the face of DS-106. And I did a follow-up course, Camp Magic MacGuffin, which was another summer theme course, brilliant, that they co-taught. And it was basically like getting everybody ready for summer camp, for digital storytelling summer camp, which in many ways, it's what Marin has done for us this week by putting together this amazing lineup of various people sharing their stories, doing their thing. And I love it. It really does harken back for me, you know, because I'm always looking to go back, not forward. Was to talk about what was and now what will be. And I see in the comments that Terry Green is commenting on the Canadian hammer throwers. I saw some of the memes around him and all these different countries claiming them as his own or their own was very funny to me. That was actually pretty, pretty great. There were a lot of moments. Yeah, look at Snoop Doggy Dogg, right? Terry Green, she has another one. So, yeah, amazing stuff here lining up. I'll be with you all week, every morning, so you know what to expect. A little bit of music, a little bit of talking, a lot of vamping, as you probably get. But look, you could hear me. That much was a success. Right? I didn't have all sorts of audio problems. At least I don't think I did. That much was a success. And like I said, things will only get better from now. So right now, we are going to work on a seamless handover. Coming up next is myself and Brian Mathers talking about visual storytelling. Get ready. Here it comes.